From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, June 1st, 2018. And on this day, we'll look at one school's efforts to reach out to students who, for whatever reason, don't feel comfortable at school. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
People in Maine died from drug overdoses in the first quarter of the year. That is according to a new report released by the State Attorney General's office. As Patty White reports, the number of drug overdose deaths hasn't changed that much compared to last year, but the type of drugs causing the deaths has changed.
The 86 deaths this year are a slight drop from the 89 deaths during the same time frame last year. But increasingly, it's illicit drugs that are the cause versus pharmaceutical opioids. Fentanyl is the most common, accounting for 65% of the drug overdose deaths in the first quarter of this year. Heroin is often cut with fentanyl because it's cheaper, but it's also more lethal and can cause death from simply touching the powder or inhaling its dust. In a written statement accompanying the report, Maine Attorney General Janet Mills said that the 2018 numbers show that the state hasn't turned the tide against opioids, and there's a continuing need for more treatment, prevention, and education. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The state's Juvenile Justice Assistance Group, which advises state policymakers on juvenile justice and delinquency prevention issues, is launching a study about the use of school resource officers as one way to improve school safety.
With all of the school shootings and the discussion about arming teachers and more police in schools and so forth, the JAG thought it would be advantageous to initiate this study.
That's Barry Studley, the group's chair. As of 2017, there were 67 school resource law enforcement officers in Maine working in 93 schools in 51 communities. There are 620 public schools in the state. The study will look at how school officers are hired, trained, and how effective they are in dealing with a wide range of school-based issues. And more high school students in Maine are graduating today as compared to, say, 5 or 10 years ago. But many are still being left behind. Some of those are teen parents. Others have been bullied, have experienced trauma, or struggle with anxiety. One Central Maine charter school is trying to reach those students by bringing school into their homes. Robbie Feinberg has more.
On an early Tuesday morning, Juliana Rothschild steps out of her car and knocks on the front door of a home in Farmington.
Hi there.
Hello.
Jessica Cousins opens the door. The two sit down at Cousins' kitchen table and pull out a couple of laptops.
All right, so let's take a look at your work log and just sort of figure out where we're at.
Rothschild is a teacher and has come for her weekly 3-hour class with Cousins, who dropped out of school 2 years ago at the age of 16. Cousins says she had a turbulent childhood, moving from town to town, rarely attending the same school for more than a few years.
Yeah, school was never a top priority for me. It was never something that I looked forward to doing all day, every day.
Then along came a program called Threshold, aimed specifically at students who never finish school. It's based on the idea that for some students, the basic structures of school, including social interaction and the 7-hour day, just aren't tolerable. So here, instructors teach students in their homes. The program's architect is Emmanuel Pariser, director of instruction at the Maine Academy of Natural Sciences Charter School, north of Waterville.
We've kind of figured out a home visiting model where we've taken out some of those variables that have kept kids from engaging in school.
The school launched the program last fall. About 10% of the 20 students enrolled in Threshold, in towns from Farmington to Augusta, are teen parents. And more than half suffer from anxiety, sometimes so debilitating that they dropped out.
A lot of students who either in their family or themselves, there's a trauma background. Also, school hasn't necessarily been the safest place for them. Some students might have been harassed or bullied, and they've just started to withdraw from the social contract, really. They've just started pulling away.
One student who asked that her name not be used recalls walking into school each morning to harassment and name-calling. She says the bullying made it hard to even get up in the morning.
I was like, I don't want to. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to school.
And eventually, she stopped going.
It felt nice, in a way, not to have to get up and know that, or think, what am I going to be called today? What are they going to do to me today? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that?
Threshold, she says, gave her a chance to re-enter school without having to experience that anxiety. Once students are accepted into the program, they then go through an extensive interview process to determine what they'll need to graduate. Teacher Juliana Rothschild says she then designs personalized projects to help them meet those requirements. In one case, she leveraged a student's passion for rebuilding BMX bikes into an English project, a tutorial slideshow about his bike building process.
So I think that, like, finding the way in and finding out who the kids are and what is going to ignite that interest, because kids will work for someone they care about and who they know is their ally and who they know respects them in a way that they won't out of pure motivation to really, you know, dig deep into, like, you know, the quadratic formula.
But for some students in the program, even that personalization hasn't been enough for them to advance academically. According to a January report from the Maine Charter School Commission, about 40% of Threshold students have made steady progress towards their goals since the program launched. But about 20% were mostly unengaged and turned in little work. It's a difficult challenge, says Maine Academy of Natural Sciences principal Tanya Arnold.
There's a lot of things outside of school life, like just either family or health of other family or health of their own. And so there's times for them that they're going gangbusters and doing a great job and really making a lot of progress, and then times where it sort of all falls apart.
And some education researchers have been critical of blended and virtual learning programs, particularly statewide cyber charter schools that in some cases have shown worse results than traditional programs. Touro University Associate Professor Michael Barber is one of those critics, but he sees promise in a program like Threshold, which targets a specific population of students and provides in-person attention.
If you start with the question of, we've got a specific population of students and how can we design a program around the unique needs that this population of students has, the chances that the program will have success regardless of how it's functioned is going to increase significantly.
And this program is showing signs of growth. This coming fall, Threshold's enrollment could double to 40 students. Director of Instruction Emmanuel Pariser says 4 students have already graduated since it started last year. And he says those diplomas make a difference.
We need to have these people pitching in and being productive, you know, citizens, even in terms of just holding a job and, you know, having a family and supporting it. But even more, you know, more importantly, in some ways, we want them to feel good about themselves and what they can accomplish.
Is this sort of what you were looking for?
Yeah.
For student Jessica Cousins, graduation is likely still months away. But the 18-year-old is already thinking about life after high school. At her house, she and her teacher browse the internet for brushes, nail tips, and adhesives. They're tools for cosmetology school, which she'd like to attend after graduation.
I really got to get on the hustle with my schoolwork, but I am still very excited that there is a possibility that come August I will have that diploma.
And Cousins hopes that means she'll soon start a new career, one she couldn't have imagined just a year ago. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. Finally tonight, a 19-year-old emu known as the Bird, who bolted from his animal sanctuary home in Lisbon 2 days ago, is back where he belongs. Janet Tuttle of the Rock and Tea Equine Animal Rescue says he was discovered behind her neighbor's house this afternoon, but not before he'd led friends and neighbors on a chase that went back and forth across a river and through the woods.
He had people all through the woods, my granddaughter, my daughter, all the neighbors, firemen, and the animal control officer. But I told my husband, I said, I'm not going to get him because you can't chase him. You can't outrun him. He's smart.
Tuttle says the 100-pound ostrich-like bird can run about 30 miles an hour. She says the only way they were able to capture the bird is by sneaking up on him, momentarily distracting him, and then throwing a lasso over his head.
Finally got a rope on him. We put a sheet over his head, and he dropped to the ground because that's what he does. And we brought him back down and put him back in the pen.
Tuttle says it took several people to load him into a small golf cart to take him safely back home, where he's being given a dinner of grain and grapes. This was not the bird's first escape. He made an attempt a decade ago and was missing for 3 weeks. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, June 1st, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.